Third, second assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life in a matter of just 2 months. Secret Service spotted a man armed with a rifle on the golf course where Trump was teeing off.
Well, the good news is he is safe. And, of course, being Donald Trump, defiant, fearless, says nothing will stop us. Welcome, everybody. The John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI, radio program of record for this 16th day of September. And now it actually does start to feel like September. Okay, boy, do we have a lot of stuff coming your way. Raul Garcia would like to sit in the United States Senate, represent Washington. He'll join us at 6:35. Big upset. Well, not a big upset, but an upset, a triumphant one at that, in the Apple Cup. And we'll be talking with our senior sports correspondent, Matthew Carlson, 7:35. Just so much stuff that is swimming our way, local and national. Here we have a second attempt on the life of Donald Trump, a real one now, where the gunman was there with what appeared to be an AK, 47 type of rifle. And he was spotted by the Secret Service, and they actually opened fire on him. I'm not sure if he opened fire back. It's not clear whether he got off shots, but he was frightened enough to leave everything behind and try and make his getaway in an SUV, a black Nissan. Did not work. Sheriff's deputies tracked him down while he was heading down the freeway. But here we have the Palm Beach County Sheriff explaining the assassination attempt.
In the bushes where this guy was is an AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Okay, let's put some meat on these bones here, shall we? Donald Trump was out playing a round of golf. The way that his security works is that the Secret Service go ahead of Donald Trump and he was golfing with a friend, a business pal from New York days. And as they are golfing, the Secret Service, again, goes ahead several holes to make sure that there's nothing in the way, that there's nothing suspicious. And a Secret Service agent saw this rifle barrel through the fence, and they immediately opened up on this guy. But again, he got away. Donald Trump did hear the shots, and immediately more Secret Service agents pounced on the former president and got him off that golf course. A witness saw the man dart out of the bushes and reported the vehicle. And that's how they were able to stop this guy. The man who tried to kill Donald Trump has been identified as Ryan Routh. Ryan Routh appears to have been, until recently, just a construction worker who was in and out of trouble with the law for many years. And then he found a cause. You know what the cause was? Ukraine. He, according to the Associated Press, appears to have reinvented himself as a Ukrainian resistance fighter and booster. Shortly after Russia invaded that country, he began posting on social media about his willingness to fight and die for the cause. Then he made the trip to Kyiv, formerly known as Kiev, and he wrote, again, posted on social media, "I'm there to fight the Russians." When he came home, he gave interviews to prominent U.S. media outlets, including the New York Times, describing his efforts to recruit foreign fighters to serve in the Ukrainian army. After living most of his life in North Carolina, Ryan Routh moved several years ago to Hawaii, where he operated a shed building business. In December of 2002, he appears to have been involved in an armed standoff with police after a traffic stop. He had been pulled over about 1 in the morning by Greensboro, North Carolina police. During the traffic stop, he put his hand on a firearm and then fled the scene and barricaded himself in the company he owned called United Roofing. Court records indicate he was charged with carrying a concealed weapon, possessing a weapon of mass destruction in the form of a fully automatic machine gun, driving with a revoked license, and resisting, delaying, and obstructing a police officer. His rap sheet is also filled with lots of other lesser offenses. Speeding, driving without a license, being involved in an accident, failure to report. He had been cited literally dozens of times for driving without a license or with expired tabs, operating a car without insurance. He has been charged several times with passing bad checks. He has been charged in the past with possession of stolen goods. He has been charged in the past with possession of a stolen car. And then again came the reinvention of Ryan Routh into a warrior for Ukrainian freedom. He reportedly tried to transfer recruits from Afghanistan. He was trying to recruit Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban to fight in Ukraine. Ukraine said, no, not our kind of soldiers. Thanks anyway. Quote, most of the Ukrainian authorities don't want these soldiers, Routh told Semaphore last year while he was heading international volunteers in Ukraine. I've had partners meetings with the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense every week and still have not been able to get them to agree to issue a single visa. Routh cast the conflict between Russia and Ukraine as a battle between good and evil, called for the whole world to come together to deter Russian aggression. He said, I am ready to go to Ukraine to fight and die for the kids and families of Ukraine. We cannot all sit around and do nothing. So, this is sounds to me like this is what Eric Hoffer, the famous philosopher, American philosopher, is actually a longshoreman turned philosopher, if you can believe that. He coined the term true believer, which is basically someone who cannot change his mind and won't change the subject. You all have met people like that, I'm sure. And his cause was Ukraine. As for his political views, he's made over a dozen and a half contributions to the Democrat pack, super PAC called Act Blue. No word on how substantial these contributions are. Should point out, Act Blue often tries to get people just text in $5, text in $10, something like that. So, again, might be small donations. But I'll tell you what this guy reminds me of. Does anyone remember the name James Hodgkinson? James Hodgkinson.
Does this go back to the congressional baseball game? Shootings, attempted assassinations?
There's a star for Philip J. Vandervoort III. A passionate supporter of Bernie Sanders, who hated Republicans, named James Hodgkinson. He was from Illinois. Decided he wanted to kill Republicans who were supporting Donald Trump. He got wind that there was going to be a congressional charity softball game. It's an annual game. And that the Republicans were practicing at a baseball field in Arlington. And he just drives there and walks up to the field with a rifle. And here you got these Republicans, including half the, there's like 20 Republican congressmen there. And, half of them are sitting in a dugout, and he shows up with a gun and starts to fire. He shot Congressman Steve Scalise and wounded him badly. The bullet entered his hip, but it didn't enter his hip from front to back. It entered his hip from the side. And basically tore through internal organs from one side of his hip to the other. He was in the hospital for months. Could have been killed. He was there to kill as many members of Congress as he could. Fortunately, because Steve Scalise is in leadership, he had a security detail. And both of his security detail agents opened up on this guy, killed him. But that would have been mass murder when it happened. And the reaction then was, we need to change the tone. We need to lower our voices. No one is blaming the left. The overall tone needs to change. Everybody needs to take a step back and calm down. The reaction from some media outlets, I think Alex Wagner on MSNBC said a second attempt on Donald Trump, maybe he needs to learn to lower the volume. Talk about blaming the victim. So this guy appears to be a fanatic for Ukraine. And, of course, what we've been hearing from the Democrats on Ukraine, well, if Donald Trump's elected, he'll sell Ukraine right down the river. No, he won't. In fact, Ukraine was not invaded when Donald Trump was there. Ukraine was safe from Putin when Trump was there. We played you the audio of what Trump said was his conversation with Putin over Ukraine. And Donald Trump outlined what would happen to Russia if they invaded Ukraine, and Putin said, no way, And Trump said, way. And Ukraine was safe. Of course, it also helped that Trump was sent Ukraine weapons. So it's interesting. Trump was supposed to be Putin's yes man. Trump was supposed to be his errand runner. Whatever Trump or whatever Putin wanted, Trump would follow through on. And yet, Trump invaded Ukraine during the presidency of Barack Obama, took Crimea, and not long after the fiasco in Afghanistan, Trump decides to invade Ukraine and take the eastern half of the country and then go as far west as he could get away with. And there was a four-year spot there in the middle where Trump did not menace or invade Ukraine. It's when Trump was there. So, why this guy was so determined to try and kill Donald Trump again clearly appears to be someone radicalized by a cause and convinced that Trump was going to harm that cause. We'll be learning a lot more about him. But that is the life so far, life story of Ryan Routh that we know so far. We're definitely going to be learning more. But it was definitely a man who is left of center, definitely a man who is a political activist, one who was interviewed by several leading media outlets, including Newsweek and the New York Times. And he just tried to kill President Trump. Secret Service was on target going after this guy and got him in custody. And the president is okay. Go to the Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair, Puyallup Fairgrounds, because I'm going to be out there. Going to be out there from noon to 2 today. Meeting and greeting KVI listeners, and Philip J. Vandervoort III is going to be out there as well, and Ari Hoffman, our afternoon host, is going to be there as well.
Yeah, Ari will be there kind of midday through his show. He's going to record his show in advance so that he can be down there for a stretch. So if you get there midday, you'll be there. Mm-hmm. And if you get there a little bit later in the afternoon, 2 o'clock and on, Ari will be there.
165 acres, guys. Where are we going to find you?
Oh, good reminder. It's in your description as well. But the KVI booth is located at the north edge of the pavilion.
I got you.
The big exhibition pavilion, which is right in the middle of the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So we're on the north edge of that. We're in between the Earthquake Burger stand and the Extreme Scream big, you know, big slingshot ride that they throw the kids up in the air in. And
that's fun.
Yeah, the adrenaline thrill-seeking ride.
Best not to have your Earthquake Burger first before you go on that slingshot ride. Anyway, it's also Military Appreciation Day. So if you are active duty military or Guard Reserve, or if you're retired military, you and your family are admitted to the fair today for free. All you got to do is show your valid military ID, and you all walk in free. So I want to see you out there today. Don't have the chance to do a lot of public appearances. This is one today.
70 noon. And sunshine for today.
There we go. So I'm heading to Puyallup on two wheels. That's going to be fun. All right. Philip J. Vandervoort III is 27 minutes after 6. What's going on in the social media world?
Let's go with the reaction to the second attempted assassination on President Trump. Tim Scott, who is a candidate for president, U.S. Senator, South Carolina, a Republican, had been considered a possible vice presidential nominee for a while for Trump. But Tim Scott posted on his social media, at Vote Tim Scott, and he writes, after the second assassination attempt on President Trump, it is time for Christians, both left and right, red or blue, black or white, to come together to pray for this nation, to pray for a political process without any violence. It is what America needs. We need believers on their knees asking God for all candidates to be safe. That's a pretty perfect summary after the events that transpired yesterday. Next hour, I want to get into a story on the social media sweep about the opening of the King County Metro rapid ride bus line called Rapid Ride G Line. And it goes from the Coleman Ferry Dock on the waterfront over to Madison Park. Everyone's cheering the opening and the unveiling the first day of this back on Saturday over the weekend. And I think it illustrates a problem with public works projects and how long it takes to get public works projects done in this area. And then, of course, the cost and the time element to complete some of these public works projects. And I'm going to tell you next hour how it has an impact on the ongoing problem we have of housing affordability here in the greater Seattle area, Seattle, Tacoma, Everett area. So I will get into that next hour on the Social Media Sweep, which is sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort.
All right. Very good. And when we come back, Raul Garcia, our go-to guy on all things COVID, who is also a businessman, owns his own medical practice, ER physician, would like to be your next United States senator. He will. Are you ready for this? This is a social media post. I'll tell you who posted this in a moment, but listen to this. This was a social media post in response to the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Quote, "No ears were harmed. Carry on with your Sunday afternoon. Sorry you're triggered. I mean, no, I'm not. I don't care a little bit."
Somebody from The Stranger?
The wife of Colonel Alexander Vindman, who was the man behind Donald Trump being impeached over what turned out to be a minor phone call in a conversation, the president of Ukraine. So this guy is now running for Congress. You remember he was portrayed by Democrats as a uniformed military man. Just nonpartisan. His being offended by Donald Trump's conversation should be taken very seriously. Of course, now we know that he's very much a partisan Democrat. And the Democrats trying to make impeachment happen because they were trying to obscure Hunter Biden's criminality. But anyway, the man who was behind the attempted impeachment of Donald Trump over Ukraine, over that phone call he had with President Zelensky, but of course, before Ukraine was invaded, because it wasn't invaded when Trump was running, his wife just posted once again, "No ears were harmed. Carry on with your Sunday afternoon. Sorry you're triggered. I mean, no, I'm not. I don't care a little bit." And this guy is running for Congress.
No kidding. I hadn't heard the Congress
He's
part.
He's running for Congress.
Which state?
In Virginia.
Oh, man.
In a swing district. Well, I hope that the Republican running against him, his name is Derek Anderson, circulates Rachel Vindman's remarks far and wide in this district. I hope she just cost her husband an election to Congress. So, what an eye-opener this is. By the way, I really want to know if Colonel Vindman knows Ryan Ralph. I want to know if they crossed paths. This guy who, again,
because a lot of this revolves around Ukraine, right?
Who was a passionate believer in America getting militarily involved in Ukraine, said that he was willing to fight in Ukraine. I would like to know if he knows this Colonel Vindman. That would be a very interesting thing to know. All right. Raul Garcia running late, and we hope to have him join us a little later on. Vice President of the United States, you know, you say, where do people, you know, get in mind the idea trivializing the attempt on someone's life? She was being interviewed in the spring of 2018 when she was a United States senator getting ready to run for president. She was interviewed on the Ellen DeGeneres show. You remember Ellen DeGeneres? She was flying high for a little while, and then she kind of crashed and burned.
There were accusations that she was mean to talk show staffers.
Toxic.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Very difficult to work for, which completely clashed with her, you know, what a nice, you know, person she is. Anyway, here is what Ellen DeGeneres asked Kamala Harris about Donald Trump and Mike Pence back in 2018.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Again, Kamala Harris on the sanctity of life, I guess. Again, what an eye-opener. We've got more on Kamala Harris coming your way, by the way. She gave, after we were off the air, she gave an interview to a local Philadelphia TV journalist. And let's put it this way. It was about a 10-minute interview. The Trump campaign posted the interview with the caption, "Our latest ad just out." So we will be running some excerpts from this interview, the second interview she has given since she was tapped to be the successor to Joe Biden, who was escorted off the political stage by Democrat power brokers. That will be very interesting, believe me. All right. Let's get local real quickly. An update for you on the Boeing strike. Mediation efforts underway starting tomorrow as 33,000 Boeing workers are off the job.
The union and Boeing, they head back into negotiation with federal mediators on Tuesday. So we'll be watching closely to see what comes out of that. And the mantra for these union members is one day longer, one day stronger. And they've all been, you know, saving their paychecks and preparing for this.
There's also a strike fund, and a lot of them had started to line up some part-time work. They are ready to hold out for as long as it takes. Here is Boeing's union leadership. Their union leader is hanging to by a thread to his job because he actually reached an agreement with the company and then gave it to his rank and file, and the rank and file said, "What the hell is this? No, we're not interested in this."
Their decision was loud and clear. It wasn't good enough, and they voted to strike by 96%, and we are aligned We are together, standing shoulder to shoulder, and now we march forward with this new direction.
Okay, again, I repeat what I said on Friday. I don't know why the company is, the rank and file are in such a hurry to walk out on the company. They got a brand new CEO, just bought a house in Seattle. He's just moving to Seattle. He's trying to reestablish Seattle roots. He lived in Florida. He's one of the few people in the United States of America moving from Florida to Washington State rather than the other way around. The company headquarters is actually in Arlington, Virginia, where it relocated after a generation in Chicago. I remember when they left here in 1999. Now they're coming back, or maybe they're coming back. So it's not like the company's new leadership has been hostile. They negotiated this deal in good faith with the company. And the union leadership signed off on the deal, and then he turns and offers it to his members, and his members, well, they had a two-word response, and the two words were not happy birthday. So here is one machinist who spoke with Como News named Vaughn Johnson.
They don't want to pay us fairly. I mean, we've had good profits enough that the CEOs get bonuses, but they're not willing to pay us more. We got a 1% in the last 8 years, a raise. That doesn't cover even inflation for 1 year.
Okay. I don't know if he's accurate about the 1% over the last 8 years. I'm assuming 1% per year for the last 8 years. I don't know if that's accurate. I do know that the machinists president agreed to 25% over 4 years. That is the deal that is on the table. And also, the company is going to sweeten the health plan and put more money into the 401k plan. And the workers point out that 25% raise isn't really 25% because our end-of-year bonuses, which average about 4% of their salaries, is kind of famous when they all get their checks. Some guys go out and put a down payment on a boat.
Hey, we had parties on our neighborhood in Queen Anne with that.
Yeah, brand new Harley parked in the driveway. I mean, they're, renovating the house, what have you. And so they say, if we lose our bonuses, you've got to deduct that from the 6%, 6+% raise. So this isn't much of a package at all. I mean, then they don't like the pension deal either. They want to go back to the defined benefit pension plan, not the defined contribution, which I've never seen happen before. So anyway,
they're seeking 40%, yeah, is what they're talking about on the picket line. Yeah.
So, yeah, they want 40% over 4 years.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to be out at the Washington State Fair, the Puyallup Fair, today from noon to 2. I'm going to be out there. Philip J. Vandervoort III is going to be out there, too. And when I'm finished, we got Ari Hoffman going to be out there as well. So KBI's got you covered today at the Puyallup Fair. If you can get out there and join us, that would be great. And remember, if you are active duty military or you're retired military, guard, reserve, what have you, you're admitted today for free. Military Appreciation Day at the Puyallup Fair. So just show your valid military ID and you and your family get in for free. Hey, why not? It's going to be warm and 70 degrees. This is the day to do it. All right. And this is the moment we talk to our good buddy Lars Larson on the John Carlson Show. Good morning, Lars.
Good morning, John. Can we get the Democrats and all their friends to stop labeling Donald Trump and everybody who supports him as an enemy of democracy, and maybe we can stop people from shooting at President Trump?
Well, of course, you know what they're saying. They're saying, yeah, Donald Trump, he needs to tone it down. Look what's happened. Now, it's the second time someone's trying to kill him. Donald Trump really needs to tone it down.
And boy, interesting history with Ukraine, because he's gone over there. He says he's personally tried to recruit people to fight in Ukraine and all the rest of this nonsense, and gave a lot of money to Act Blue, a lot for an average person to give money to Act Blue. So very clearly, somebody on the left side of the aisle. And what's Joe's suggestion this morning? I heard a soundbite with the usual helicopter or airplane noise in the background. Well, the Secret Service needs a bigger budget. So the answer to everything in life is a bigger budget for some federal agency.
So. By the way, does the name Alexander Vindman, Colonel
yes.
Vindman, ring a bell?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Well, his wife has reacted to the attempt on Donald Trump's life, and this was her post on Twitter or X. No ears were harmed. Carry on with your Sunday afternoon.
Hardy har har. Do they think this is funny?
And, oh, no, response from some people is they're trivializing it. I mean, here she is practically celebrating the attempted assassination on President Trump, laughing it off. This is about as bad as it gets. And again, I'd like to know if this attempted assassin, 58-year-old Ryan Roth, who was very active in the Ukraine movement, went to Ukraine, was interviewed by Newsweek, the New York Times, other leading media outlets. I want to know if he knew Colonel Vindman.
That would be that's an interesting connection. Because I think there are people on the Democrat side of the aisle who are wishing Donald Trump dead. And I honestly think that's what they're doing. And the fact that the Secret Service has not provided adequate security, and they even showed up yesterday, they showed up to actually provide some information to reporters. And they admitted, we don't have the same level of security around Donald Trump. Now, consider, this is two actual attempts plus a plot. The guy who was arrested on July 12th, the day before the shooting in Pennsylvania, was identified as part of a conspiracy between the Iranian mad mullahs and the guy who's in custody and charged with, you know, plotting to kill Donald Trump, among others. So you have all this going on, and the Biden administration, everybody else, including the media, takes it casually.
Yes. By the way, Colonel Vindman has responded to what his wife said and the fury that it has engendered by saying, I condemn you, your lack of integrity, your attacks on immigrants, your desecration at Arlington National Cemetery, et cetera, et cetera. So, wow. Talk about doubling down on disgrace. There they are. Colonel Alexander and Mrs. Rachel Vindman. Hour number two, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. So nice to have you here, ladies and gentlemen. The commute with Carlson rolling along on this 16th day of September. And a reminder, you got all of us here at KVI, just about all of us, going to be hanging out at the Puyallup Fair today. It's Military Appreciation Day. So if you want to head out to the fair, we'd love to see you. I'm going to be out there from noon till 2. Philip J. Vandervoort III going to be there as well. A little later in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, Ari Hoffman will be there. And we're just meeting and greeting KVI listeners. I guess we're going to be right in the middle of the fairgrounds, Philip J.?
Yeah, it's just the north side of the exhibition pavilion. So
by the Earthquake Burger?
Yeah. There's actually a beer garden that's right next to where we are. So come by, say hello, and then you can go get an adult beverage. But, otherwise the cow chip cookie stand is the one that's right in front of us. So when you see the cow chip cookie stand,
there you go.
You'll be at the KVI booth.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, very nice.
And I think our sister station, Hank, 101.5 FM,
yeah,
is got a booth right next to us as well. So if you see the Hank 101.5 booth, That's us too. KVI is
the country
right
music.
Next door.
When you
yeah,
the
and
they're,
they should be cranking some Hank country.
It used to be Star 101.5. It's country music stations already gathering a very loyal and growing following. So we welcome them to the ranks of success here on the Commute with Carlson. That's very nice. Anyway, that's today. I will be out there starting at noon. Philip J. going to be there. And then Ari Hoffman a little later in the afternoon. We'd love to see you. And it is Military Appreciation Day, so you get to go for free. If you're active duty military or retired military, reserve, guard, what have you, just show your ID. You and your family get into the fair. That's today at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. All right. You know, Philip J. is teasing me a little bit with, oh, you know, earthquake burger. Oh, the cow chip, you know.
Oh all the food. Yeah.
You know, elephant ears.
You've been very disciplined lately, haven't you?
Well, yes. And, in fact, I think I have an announcement to make. I'm a little bit proud of myself. I started to gain weight during the pandemic. You know, I have a theory.
We all did.
During the pandemic, you either got in great shape because you couldn't go to work, and then when you did go to work, it was social distancing and work from home and all that. And so a lot of people developed a workout routine. And then there's guys like me who got thrown off their workout routine and then, you know, picked up a second job, very important job, VP of Government Affairs at Kemper Development. And so I've done very little working out and more eating out. And my weight hit an all-time high. And I tried, you know, dabbling in little diets here and there. I don't have time to do things like Body for Life where you work out every day, which I used to do. And I did do 30-10 about 10 years ago, and that worked out, you know, fairly well for a while.
I remember seeing you in the lobby.
But it's also, you know, expensive. I mean, and they give you packets of food. They give you your food. And, again, didn't want to do anything like that either. And my son came across this diet called Fast Metabolism, the Fast Metabolism Diet. And he told me his boss went on it, and he said, you can eat a lot of food and good food, delicious food, you know, steak and pasta if it's not made from wheat and, you know, all sorts of other things. Anyway, I decided to go on this diet. It's a 28-day diet, and you can see it online. It's Fast MetabolismDiet.com. Right? 28 days. I just finished yesterday. Lost 18 and a half pounds.
Wow.
Ooh. In 28 days. Not bad. So, you know, the diet advertises lose up to 20 pounds in 28 days. Well, I lost 18 and a half. That's close enough for me.
What did you have to give up? Was kind of hard. There's got to be a challenge in every diet.
Yes. Again, I wanted a diet where I wouldn't go hungry and where the food wouldn't taste like cardboard. And this diet is heavy on veggies, very light on fat. But here are the big ones. No refined sugar. So nothing out at the Puyallup Fair qualifies for this, okay? No bakery goods. You know. Number two, no dairy. So no meat, no ice cream, or excuse me, no milk, no ice cream, no cheese.
Cheese, that's a rough one.
Yeah, no
cheese. Tough to avoid.
Number three, no alcohol. So I have gone 28 days with no wine, no beer. No whiskey shot at the end of the week.
No wonder you were so miserable during the Apple Cup.
And, well, that
well, there are
added,
two reasons, but yes. Okay.
There was another reason I was miserable with the Apple Cup. And you're also supposed to avoid caffeine. And let's just say I'm about a 95% or I avoided caffeine. But I did not have any alcohol, no refined sugar, and a lot of vegetables and, you know, everything, fresh fruit. And the diet became so easy after a while that I've decided I'm going to stay with it for a few more days because I do want to hit the 20-pound mark. And so, again, if you want any information, we're going to try and get the woman behind this diet. She's fabulously successful. Her name is Haley Pomeroy, to be on the show with us. But if you want to see what worked for me, and again, you didn't have to go hungry and you don't have to, you know, parcel out thousands of dollars either. Just, you know, it's a book with recipes. FastMetabolismDiet.com. Just check it out, fastmetabolismdiet.com. All right. By the way, quick correction. I said that Colonel Alexander Vindman, whose wife Rachel sent out a just venomous social media tweet about the second attempt on Donald Trump's life, saying, hey, no ears were hurt. Sorry if you're triggered. No, I'm not. I mean, just that kind of, you know, sing-song sickness. I said that he was running for Congress. Actually, it's his twin brother, Eugene, who is running for Congress. But remember how this guy, Colonel Vindman, was treated during... This is the guy who's behind the impeachment over the phone call that Donald Trump had, where he was a career military man, very nonpartisan. He's archpartisan. And as you hear from his wife, just almost pathologically hateful of Donald Trump. We'll be hearing more, I am sure. The reaction from some media outlets is that, hey, this is the second attempt on Donald Trump's life. I guess he'd better tone down the rhetoric. Can you imagine if this had been an attempt on Kamala Harris's life and Republicans responded by saying, yeah, someone tried to shoot her. I guess she'd better be careful about what she says. By the way, as for Donald Trump himself, again, he was golfing. I think he was between the fifth and sixth hole when he and Steve Witkoff, his golfing buddy, who's a New York investor, real estate investor, heard four pops. And those pops were happening about 400 yards away, one hole away. The Secret Service was walking ahead. They have the Secret Service walking ahead of Donald Trump and walking behind Donald Trump. And a very alert Secret Service agent noticed a rifle barrel at the fence, the chain link fence near the golf course, the golf club's property line. And they instantly fired at least four shots. The gunman hastily, we know it was hasty because he left everything behind, ran away and got into a black Nissan and headed for the freeway. He made it to the freeway, but not much further, pulled over. He is in custody. He has donated numerous times to Democrats. His name is Ryan Routh. He is 58, former roofing contractor from Greensboro, North Carolina, later moved to Hawaii. And he is the man now in custody and soon to be charged for pointing an AK-47 style rifle at the president while he was golfing. In March, he voted in the Democratic primary in North Carolina. CNN says that 8 years ago, he supported Donald Trump. So he left a tweet that apparently said that this was back in 2020. While you were my choice in, well, he said 2106, but of course he meant 2016. I and the world hoped that President Trump would be different and better than the candidate, but we were all greatly disappointed, and it seems you're getting worse and devolving. I will be glad when you're gone. Just this past April, Ralph tagged the Joe Biden Twitter account with a suggestion saying that he should call his campaign KADAF, Keep America Democratic and Free. And Trump's campaign should be called MASA, Make Americans Slaves Again. Democracy is on the ballot and we cannot lose. So basically what this guy sounds like is just, you know, a hyperactive political leftist. And so the media's response is, you know, Trump shouldn't be triggering people like this. Well, I wonder how many Democrats are triggering people like this when they say, oh, I don't know, democracy is on the line. It's not. When they say that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy itself, who referred to right-wing Republicans. So, again, if this had been an attempt on Kamala Harris, we'd be hearing all about right-wing hate speech. Why aren't we hearing about left-wing hate speech? You've got a left-wing political activist and, frankly, ne'er-do-well. He's been cited by the police dozens of times. He was involved in an armed standoff with police more than 20 years ago. Tried to pull him over, and he bolted, went to his company, his roofing company, and barricaded himself inside with a machine gun, which are illegal for people to possess unless they have a special federal permit. He did not. And they eventually just charged him with possessing a weapon of mass destruction, which is how they term a machine gun, and a bunch of other charges. So that's who this guy is. And the reaction from the media is, well, what you can expect from the media. It's almost like, gee, if we give this story too much attention, if we give it a lot of attention, it might create some sympathy for Trump, and that could lead people to vote for him. So we better play that down and suggest that maybe Trump himself, maybe he's the one who's bringing this on himself with his rhetoric. It is 19 minutes. By the way, some of the rhetoric coming from the Harris-Waltz campaign. You have to wonder whether that is whipping people up into a frenzy. After 7 o'clock in the morning, Philip J. Vandervoort III. The social media sweep. What's going on? I think I know.
Yeah, I've got more reaction here on social media after this arrest in an attempted assassination of Donald Trump in Florida. Social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. And this kind of dovetails with what you were talking about, the post on social media by Rachel Vindman. And this, as you, I think, used the word venomous, is a pretty good descriptor. But Here are a couple of more from people on the political left. And this one comes from someone whose social media handle says TV writer, comedian, host of at TV I Say Pod. So a podcast type person. Ashley Ray is the person's name. And Ashley Ray posted in relation to last night's Emmy Awards. I love a Jodie Foster win. And Jodie Foster was one of the awards winners last night on the day of a presidential assassination attempt. Classy, right? Another person on social media, 98,000 followers. Their social media profile is a little on the vague side, but they're followed by a bunch of left-wing political social media handles that I follow. And this person wrote, if being within 500 yards of a gun means you're the target of an assassination attempt, then everybody in Florida is the target of an assassination attempt by nearly everybody else in Florida. Well, yeah, except for, you know, the pointing the gun at somebody else and the backpacks with ceramic tile in them to possibly deflect or stop bullets that are coming back at you should you seek to attempt to open fire. And I know they haven't ironed out all of that who fired which shots yet as part of the investigation, but those are two posts by people on the political left about what we know so far in Florida. Here on the home front, there was a celebration in Seattle by Metro Transit, the bus transit agency for King County. And what was opened up was something called the Rapid Ride G Line. Now, King County Metro has several rapid ride lines to try and get from point A to point B a little bit faster. You don't do what I like to call the milk run, where you're stopping every couple of blocks to pick up more people and drop off more people.
Right.
And Mark, if you can put up my audio here on the mixing board, I got a little part of a Fox 13 story. And this is how I noticed what was going on with this Rapid Ride G line opening up for business in Seattle.
This $144 million line will take riders from the waterfront to some of Seattle's oldest neighborhoods.
And it goes from the Coleman Ferry Dock up over Capitol Hill, First Hill on East Madison, all the way down into Madison Park. So it basically runs from Coleman Ferry Dock on Elliott Bay over to Lake Washington, that corridor called East Madison. Now, in the Fox 13 story, they say that this was a basically 10-year plan. It was 10 years in the making to open up this Rapid Ride G line. And it was supposed to be ready a couple years ago, but it was delayed and took a little bit longer to accomplish. $144 million to open this Rapid Ride G line. And according to Fox 13,
how much?
$144 million, basically to repave and restructure Madison, East Madison Street. So one street.
$144 million to open a bus line?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't need a lot of bus stops because it's rapid line from waterfront up to Capitol.
They had to
Hill.
Rebuild curbs and stuff like that. They had to create the bus only line or the bus only lane because that's the whole point of what makes the bus go from point A to point B faster.
But they didn't create a whole new lane of traffic. They just repurposed an existing lane.
That's my understanding. So,
and that cost them $144 million?
Yeah. So in the story, according to Fox 13, former Seattle City Council member, who was the chair of the Seattle Transportation Committee at one point, Alex Peterson, he said in a statement, quote, the letter G must stand for gridlock and gluttonous. Because this overly complex, overly disruptive, and overpriced project is another reason why Seattle should vote to reject and redo the Prop 1 transportation tax in November. For nearly 3 years, commuters, small businesses, and students suffered from torn up streets, ripped out trees, and confusion. And what did they get after City Hall went over budget and the project ballooned to $150 million? I think the price tag was $144 million. He writes, we got fewer bus stops, worse traffic congestion, and a bus ride that's just a tiny bit faster. While streets in other parts of Seattle remain unpaved, bridges remain unfixed, and sidewalks unavailable. And I would add to that, these are the same Seattle political planners. They're cut from the same cloth at King County Metro as they are from the King County Council, the legislature in Olympia. These are the same Seattle political planners who say they can fix our housing affordability problems. Think of that when it takes them 10 years to complete a 3.6-mile-long bus route through Seattle. Just and
these are
that.
The long accordion type buses.
Well, right, exactly. Right. Those are the
buses. We went from 7 traffic lights on the waterfront. Now we're up to 14. So we're going to add these big, tall, long buses to all the already the congestion on a weekend that we're seeing.
Well, it reminds us that when it comes to transportation policies, they're not interested in value, i.e., what do we get for what we're spending? Are we getting quicker commutes? Are more people getting to their destination faster for less money? That's good value. But instead, $144 million to repurpose some driving lanes for a bus lane for a slightly faster commute if you're commuting on the rapid run there. All right, when we come back, social media from Socialists is Philip J's favorite segment of the day. Not today. Our next segment will be Philip J. Vandervoort III's favorite segment of the day. Stand by to find out why. As the commute with Carlson continues, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Who's going to win? We'll start with you, Phil.
I'm nervous. I'll take the Cougs. I have a feeling it's going to be close. I think, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, everyone's going to want to run the ball.
Right. I think it'll be close. I'm going to say dogs by 7.
All right. I'm going to say dogs by 11. And okay. Since we outnumber you, then the Huskies are clear.
Motion carries.
Don't even need to watch it.
Motion carries.
2-3 game over.
You now all know the outcome of tomorrow's Apple Cup.
Fight for Washington State. Win the victory.
So as you know, we do take music requests from KVI listeners. This is the music request from our senior sports correspondent, Matthew Carlson.
I was sitting with Matthew, we were watching TV. You said, hey Matthew, what do you see? Need their faces, do you know their names? Hey Matthew, what do you see?
Matthew, there you go. There's your Cougar fight song.
Oh, you did find it. I appreciate that.
Actually, I hid it, but radio legend Mark Christopher found it.
Oh,
so
thank you, Mark.
He knows
I
do
that
when the Apple Cup doesn't go the right way.
Well, it's gone the right way for the Huskies every time but 3 times since 2008, but the Cougars were able to find the end zone a few times and win this one. So,
well, you know, I told a friend, and I might take some flack from some of my fellow Donald Trump supporters for saying this, but I was watching the Apple Cup and I was reacting to the Huskies sometimes the way I react to when Donald Trump will say or tweet something that's out of nowhere, and I said, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why'd you tweet that? And I'm watching the Huskies. Why'd you just jump offside? Why'd you do it twice? I mean, it's 16.
They're eating the dogs.
Yes. 16 penalties.
16 penalties for 165 yards. Frankly, a really poor game for the University of Washington. They were favored to win this game. They probably should have won this game. But a mix of bad play calling, really poor discipline, and the Cougars taking advantage of opportunities and not making many mistakes lets Washington State win for the 3rd time since 2008 and the 1st time since 2021.
Yeah, what a great analysis. Penalties and bad play calling. Boy, are we feeling it, losing Ryan Grubb, our offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator calls most of the offensive plays for a football team. And Ryan Grubb was our offensive coordinator under Kalen DeBoer. And, you know, we won every game except the national championship last year. And then Ryan Grubb, he goes to the Seahawks. Kalen DeBoer goes, so he's calling offensive plays for the Seahawks. Now, Kalen DeBoer ended up in Bama and Tuscaloosa. And so we've got a whole new coaching staff and a whole new team. And boy, did we see the difference. I mean, the.
Yeah. You're not trying to transition away to the Seahawk game already, right? We still got
Ooh,
more.
What a great idea. No, it was. I got to tell you something. I love the Washington State University quarterback.
John Mateer is, I mean, this is a guy that ran for 197 yards last week against Texas Tech. He had three total touchdowns, including he ran for two more in this game. You know, Washington's a decent team, and he just kind of weaved and bobbed his way through the Washington defense, took advantage of opportunities. He had the only turnover of the game. Washington had no turnovers. Mateer did throw one pick, but the Huskies were not able to take advantage of it. And that goal line stand will, unfortunately for the purple and gold, be one of the iconic Cougar memories of Apple Cups going forward.
Well, take our listeners there for those who didn't watch the Apple Cup.
Well, Washington was driving down within the red zone towards the end of the game. They had an opportunity to score with just mere seconds left. And from the 2-yard line on the near side, the thin side of the field, you know, the hash marks on the field, so they're kind of pushed to the far right side of the field. They call an option toss play, and they just jammed themselves against the sideline, couldn't get around the corner, and were snuffed out before they could attempt to score. So just a really bizarre play call by the Huskies down the stretch. And then Washington State gets the ball back and further penalties. There's a great pan of Coach Jed Fish just staring off. He can't believe it. Can't believe the play didn't go how I guess he thought it would go. But penalties allowed the Cougars to ice the game after that.
Well, and then we had the Cougars on, you know, like the one or 2 yard line, you know, the lined up almost in the end zone, their own end zone, and the Huskies jump off sides.
Yep.
So, okay, now the ball is out to the 6 yard line. And the Huskies, you know, still have a chance. And, oh, well, we better jump off sides again. And now the ball is out to the 11-yard line. And just
and throw a personal foul in there, too. So, yeah, 57,567 saw quite the Apple Cup. That's 10,000 less than capacity there at Lumen. But still a lot of people, much more than Martin Stadium can hold, but still a lot of people saw that game. UW outgained Wazoo 452-381, but just a crafty Washington State team wins to remain 3-0. Washington falls to 2-1.
Yes, the Cougars remain undefeated. So you know, how about that? And what was the final score?
24-19. Grady Gross for Washington, who kicked that game winner in the Apple Cup last year. He kicked four field goals.
And, yeah, he was the one bright light. Remember, this is the kid who was a walk-on kicker and kicked a game-winning field goal about midway through the season for the Huskies. And we played the audio of Kalen DeBoer calling him up in front of all his teammates and said he kicked the game-winning field goal, and by the way, he's now a scholarship player. give him a scholarship right there on the spot.
Yeah, you kick the game-winning field goal in the Apple Cup, you should earn a scholarship, but he didn't get the chance this year. So just again, a strange Apple Cup played in September, played against a non-conference foe in a neutral site for the first time in 60 years. But still good to see the game continue. And Jay Inslee had to give the Apple Cup to Coach Jake Dickert of Wazoo as for the last time as governor. So does this
stay at Lumen Field now for the neutral field, or does it go to the east side of the state because Cougars win?
Well, as part of the package agreed to by Washington State and UW. This game, so last year's game was on Montlake. This year's game was supposed to be at Martin if the home and away continued.
Mm-hmm.
But to keep the game going, Washington State agreed to have it at Lumen. The University of Washington wanted to split the gate. They wanted a larger venue. They wanted more ticket sales. Yeah. So next year's game is actually on Montlake again.
Oh, my Lord.
Three straight games in Seattle. And then 2026 will be back at Martin Stadium in Pullman.
John, I got to ask too for Matt if you know anything. So are we done with free TV to watch? Just a shout out to everybody doing social media for some of us that didn't have Peacock to keep up with the game. But yeah.
Free TV. Yeah. That was another strange thing was Peacock. You had to stream it.
The NBC streaming service. Yes.
I can't imagine that would be the norm going forward. I see it more as a blip, but we'll see. It's an ever streaming world. We're having NFL games now on Peacock and whatnot. But
for all you Husky fans who are also KVI listeners, I have a silver lining to this gray cloud.
Please,
that was raining on the Huskies quite literally and figuratively on a Saturday afternoon. The Apple Cup now resides on the red side of Washington State. The conservative side of Washington State is now where the Apple Cup is safely ensconced. There you go. That's the best I can do.
it's interesting. Coach Dickert, who's now 2-2 in Apple Cups, he had a great quote too. He said, "We didn't win because we hate the Huskies. We won because we love each other as a team."
Yeah,
and I love that mentality.
It was a very classy interview.
Very classy. And there's talk about this Apple Cup, the Boeing Apple Cup. If it's gonna, maybe the Cougars were joking. Maybe they'll keep this trophy and they'll start up a new one. Since the Pac-12 is over, since it's now a non-conference rivalry. We'll see what happens going forward. Probably just some tickling words to tease.
So Dickert, the dogs. Dickert seems to have already matched the number of Apple Cup wins that Mike Leach had. Or does he have more?
He has more at this point. He has.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He has. Yep.
Give us 20 seconds on the Seahawks.
The Seahawks. Speaking of Ryan Grubb, he called a pretty good game. The Seahawks win in Foxborough, Massachusetts, 23-20. Jason Myers with a game-winning 31-yard field goal in overtime. Mike McDonald is the first Seahawks coach ever to go 2-0 to start his career. Mike Holmgren didn't do that. Pete Carroll didn't do that. And the Seahawks are on top of their division at 2-0. Every other team is 1-1. Geno Smith with an outstanding game.
Wow.
One of the most efficient passing quarterbacks in the NFL, and DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba both going for over double-digit catches and over 100 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, absolutely great game through the air. A great analysis. Senior sports correspondent Matthew Carlson, 570 KBR.
Get out there and watch the Yankees and Mariners this week, folks.
Oh, yeah.
12 games left of the season.
We still
home
got a
stand
chance
against the Yankees. Still got a chance.
Still got a chance. Thanks, Matt. All right.
Love you, Dad. Take care.
You love you, son. All right. 10 minutes to 8 o'clock. Back we are. The Commute with Carlson. I'm going to be talking to Raul Garcia. Would like to sit in the United States Senate, represent Washington. He will be with us in about 10 minutes on the commute. And a reminder: later today, I will be out at the Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair on the Puyallup Fairgrounds. We will be out there at the north end of the pavilion by the Earthquake Burger, I am told. All right. Our booth will be out there. I'll be there. Philip J. Vandervoort III will be out there. Ari Hoffman will be out there. I'll be there starting at noon. Noon today. And a reminder to all you veterans, it is Military Appreciation Day, so all active duty military, all retired military, Guard, National Reserve, just show your military ID. You and your family get into the free today for free. See you out there. Welcome back to the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You know, I I'm really, really impressed with J.D. Vance, Donald Trump's running mate. I will confess, he was not my first choice for vice president. I had supported, you will remember, Governor Youngkin of Virginia, because I thought that Youngkin would put the state of Virginia in play, and that Trump would have a chance of picking up Virginia like Youngkin did. Youngkin kept a blue-leaning state from swinging further in that direction and turned it purple. And if he were Trump's running mate, he might have been able to bring in Virginia. But he picked J.D. Vance. He's already got Ohio, senator from Ohio. But J.D. Vance has been so impressive in not giving ground, but also completely keeping his composure. Now, yesterday, he was on CNN with Dana Bash. Dana Bash, you remember, was the CNN correspondent who conducted the interview with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And when Vance would be answering a question, she'd be talking over him, interrupted him, et cetera, and finally Vance had enough. But listen to how he handled it. This is J.D. Vance yesterday on CNN with Dana Bash.
Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them, or would you like to debate me on these topics? I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you gave them multiple choice answers to the questions that you asked, and you allowed them to answer the questions. I'm happy to be here to talk about policy, but if you're going to interrupt me every single time that I open my mouth, then why am I even doing this? So please, ask a question, and I'd ask you to be polite enough to let me answer it.
Yes.
Talk about shutting down a rude correspondent. What a classy way to do it. No, not with name calling, not with sarcasm and snarkiness, but just being very simple, clear, forthright, comparing the question she asks him with the multiple choice. Can you believe this? What are they, 11 years old? Multiple choice questions she gives Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And then he says, you know, what am I even doing this for? If you're not going to give me a chance to answer the question, let me answer the question the way you let them answer the question. And she backed down. She didn't back down because she was a coward. She backed down because she knew he was right. That's how you handle things like that. All right, it's a very busy news day, as you can imagine, with a man in custody for trying to take a shot at Donald Trump on the golf course yesterday, Palm Beach County, Florida. Secret Service agents fired at least four shots at the would-be assailant. None of them hit him. He hastily fled from the area, but did not get far. He's now in custody, and as you have heard, he is not talking. So we're learning more about him. Liberal activist with special interest in Ukraine. Son says that he hates Trump. He donated, I think, 18, 19 times to the Democrats, small donations. That's all we know about him so far, except he's also been in trouble with the law. Lots of trouble with the law. But let's put that aside for a moment, because someone who would like to be a lawmaker in the U.S. Senate, no less, is joining us this morning on the John Carlson Show, Dr. Raul Garcia. We got used to knowing and chatting with Dr. Raul Garcia. He was our go-to guy on all things COVID, policy and politics. And you'll remember that, unlike Dr. Fauci, unlike the King County Department of Public Health, Raul Garcia, Dr. Garcia, didn't need to revise or to clarify or correct his previous comments on the show. He had it right the entire time. And now he is using his experience as an ER doctor, as a Cuban immigrant who ended up owning his own medical practice. Talk about the American dream. Wants to take that dream to Washington, D.C. and be our next United States Senator. Raul Garcia, welcome back to the John Carlson Show.
Good morning, John. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. And, of course, the big news story of the morning being the second now attempted assassination on President Trump. Wanted to give you a chance to weigh in on that.
Yeah. Well, as I put on our social media that, you know, we have come to accept a lot of things in this world these days. And we have come to accept things that are infringing upon our lives and our families' lives and somehow make them normal. And that is not normal. And political violence is not American. It is not the country that we built. You talk about immigrants. You know, my message of coming here, of pursuing the American dream, is no different than your ancestors, John, than everybody's ancestors coming here with that fire to find a better place. And that fire built the best country in the world. And for a long time, we have kept it. I remember Marco Rubio saying to me, you know, there is no better definition of being a conservative than trying to preserve those things that have worked for ourselves and our families throughout the years. And we have kept it that way. And now our world is different. We are accepting of those things that are infringing upon our lives. And, you know, as an ER physician for 26 years, I could tell you that I have accepted everybody that comes in my door. I have treated them the same. I even treated a criminal and a police officer who shot each other, I remember, in the Bronx. I never wavered to save one or the other. But we cannot accept those things that are infringing upon our lives these days. And political violence is one of those things. No matter what side you're on, no matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, this is not acceptable in our country. It is also not acceptable in our country to have our streets full of fentanyl killing our families and our children. It is not acceptable in our country that the government takes over and taxes us and prints money and brings up inflation to a point that we can't afford our lives. And it is not acceptable to have a U.S. senator in our state that truly no one knows about, no one knows what she does, and no one knows how she represents us. I think it is time to have true representation and to have true solutions to those topics that I talked about. And truly, when you said I never had to retract anything that I said about COVID, is because I brought a scientific mind and I told you exactly what was happening. And I think that it is time to bring that scientific mind to politics and work in a government that actually brings solutions and acts according to results instead of wandering in subjective things and accepting those things that are infringing upon our families these days. And that's why, John, many people feel that we have the best message of anyone that is running for office this year and are supporting us. But I am going to step in here and ask the Puget Sound that I need their help. You know, I moved to Seattle at the beginning of September to be within King County for the last 2 months. I'm here. I'm involved in the community. And I need your help to bring this message into the end zone. We failed to do that many, many times. And unfortunately, money is important to carry that message out. And also your time, if you don't have money, to pass out our literature in King County and Pierce and Snohomish that is so significant. Join our movement to make sure that this message gets through, because we have no doubt that every voter that knows about us and our opponent, we will walk in this election if everyone gets to know our message. Everyone that knows about us will vote for us, and that it will be enough to win this election.
All right, so What's it going to take between now and Election Day? Maria Cantwell starts with lots of name recognition. She starts with lots of money. One of the advantages, you say that she's been quiet, almost invisible in the nation's capital, but that, in an odd kind of way, seems to be playing to her advantage in that because she's not outspoken on a lot of issues, it's harder to for people to oppose her. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Sorry to interrupt you. I am looking forward to our two debates, October 8th and October 19th. The 8th will be in Gonzaga, and the 19th will be at Seattle University in King County. And I'm looking forward to giving people another choice. I think that the reason why she skates through is because we have not had the same resources that she has to be able to get our name and our message out there. And in those debates, I'm looking forward to giving that message so people could see that they actually have a choice in this race, and they actually have a choice that promises to represent them. Every day of my job as a U.S. Senator for the state of Washington, not only from the state of Washington. So I'm looking forward to those debates. And yes, what can we do in these last 2 months? It's all about name recognition. So I go back to, please go to our website, you know, GarciaForWa.com, and donate what you can so we could use that money to get our commercials out there. Every penny that you donate will be used for name recognition. It will not be used for staffing or travel or anything else. I have made a promise to take care of those things. So we use every dollar that donors give towards name recognition because we need it. And if you have some spare time, please take our literature and go out into the streets of our lovely state and make sure you tell people about us. And not only in our echo chamber, get out into the independents and the Democrats, because truly, I feel that I will be a better U.S. senator for everybody than what we have.
Oh yeah,
have
no,
now.
You would be. I've seen him come and go for a long time in politics. You would just be a remarkable United States senator. I think you would settle in very quickly. And I think that you would be a real credit to the institution. And you are such a fresh contrast with your opponent. So let's go to that website, GarciaForWA. GarciaForWA.com, is it? .com?
Yes.
GarciaForWA.com. And join the Garcia Crusade. This would be such a wonderful thing for it to happen. That's Raul Garcia running for the United States Senate. Raul, again, GarciaForWA.com. Raul, great having you here this morning here on the commute. We look forward to being in touch with you when those debates happen, and we're glad they are happening. A lot can happen, as we have seen, with a successful debate or two. So keep up the good work. Keep up. This man, by the way, did something I've never seen a candidate do. Raul Garcia walked from Eastern to Western Washington to publicize his campaign and its message about having federal legislation addressing the fentanyl crisis. That is incredible. And you did it in a week's time, walked 160 miles in a week. That alone should get you sympathy points.
Well, it was 185 miles, John. Oh. And I still work as an ER physician, which is something that is, people say it's incredible running a U.S. Senate campaign and still helping the Yakama Nation community here in Toppenish. You know, we are very optimistic. We're going to bring this thing into the end zone. The exit polls that we see have us taking a lot of the independent and moderate Democrat vote that did not vote in the primary and uniting all those Republican votes. And those are going to be enough to actually win this election. But we have to do the work. And I ask everybody to help us. Don't leave me alone on this. This is something super important for our state. And I think that we are going to celebrate a win for a day or two and then get to work to really change the status quo here in Washington State.
There you go. Raul Garcia. Again, that's Garcia for WA, Garcia for WA.com. Thanks for appearing with us again here on the Commute with Carlson, Raul.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. It is coming up here on 20 Minutes After 8. A quick reminder for you. We're going to be out at the Puyallup Fair today. Not just me from noon to 2, but also Philip J. Vandervoort III. Also, our good friend Ari Hoffman will be out there this afternoon as well. That's the Puyallup Fairgrounds on Military Appreciation Day. So all of you active duty military, reserve, guard, retired military, all you need is your valid military ID, and you and your family get to go to the fair for free today. It's Military Appreciation Day. We're out there to celebrate it with our men and women who are in uniform or who are retired from wearing the uniform. We hope to see you out at the fair today. Again, that's from noon to 2 and beyond. Right by, what is it, the Earthquake Burger stand there, Philip J.? Little ZZ Top to wake you up here at 8:26 in the morning on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Philip J. Vandervoort III, your favorite segment of the day, social media from Social Lists. What do we got?
I'm just on a run right now with the Los Angeles Times giving me content for this segment. I've got another example here. The Social Media Sweep, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. The LA Times posted a story, and it says, how Elon Musk destroyed Twitter. Authors say, and this is related to a new book that's coming out about Elon Musk buying Twitter. It says, authors say platform, that being X or Twitter, is a tool for controlling political discourse. And the
it was before he got a hold of it.
The fact that the Los Angeles Times is phrasing it and kind of pitching it all this way reminds me of that old sticker you'd see from time to time. Don't steal. The government hates competition. You remember those?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Bumper stickers.
Yeah. It would just be a little bit ironic that the LA Times, the irony of mainstream media outlets complaining about other people or other platforms that end up attempting to control political narratives or political discourse. Because that's kind of been what's happening since 2016, you know, the media that wants a predisposed outcome. And like you have pointed, the high tech bias, the news media bias, all flowing in one direction. So there's another example from the LA Times. Here locally, Joe Fitzgibbon is a Washington State Democratic representative from the Seattle area. Is it South Seattle? Kind of Tukwila, Berrien,
yeah.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember specifically. It's the 34th district. Whatever.
Well, and 34th, it's West Seattle.
West Seattle, then. Okay, West Seattle. There we go.
Not quite as far south as
Joe Fitzgibbon on his social media handle calls himself a climate hawk.
Oh.
Climate hawk.
Well.
That's a new phrase. I haven't heard that before. But he's a climate hawk. And he posted about Initiative 2117, which is up for vote on the November ballot.
I think he was at the Times editorial board, wasn't he? Wasn't it Joe Fitzgibbon and
to be interviewed.
Rachel Smith
to be interviewed
from the chamber versus Brian Haywood and Todd Myers.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Todd Myers, Right, wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
If it were a boxing match, they would have stopped it in the third round. Please.
You might be onto something there, but Joe Fitzgibbon posted on social media, I-2117 would hurt air quality and hurt kids and seniors, vote no. Okay, pretty poor pro forma kind of response for how the political left, the climate hawks, as Fitzgibbon calls himself, are going to portray Initiative 2117.
Right.
Todd Myers picked up on what was posted, and he responded. He said, this is false. The state's own projections before the CO2 carbon tax showed that Washington's already very low levels of air pollution would continue to decline. Air quality would not be hurt whether I-2117 passes or not. So, fine response from Todd Myers there.
Todd Myers is still flooring him.
Yep.
Still knocking him down to the canvas.
One more quick one here.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Reich is the former Clinton administration labor secretary.
Yes.
Does that sound right? Labor secretary, not treasury. And Robert Reich posted...
Bill Clinton.
This is related to the Ohio, Springfield, Ohio controversy about the dogs and the cats and the geese. And some of the things that came up with Trump claiming that the dogs and the cats and the geese were being eaten by migrants or illegal aliens. Robert Reich posted last week about this controversy. Strongman politicians project their supposed strength by attacking immigrants, people of color, and the LGBTQ community. But these groups of people don't present a threat to anyone. Do you know who does? And he goes into a screed about the oligarchs who earn their keep by exploiting the rest of us. So to kind of bring it back to this Ohio situation, attacking immigrants, I think what Robert Reich is conflating here is the legality of it all. And if he's going to say these groups of people don't present a threat to anyone, how would Lakin Riley or Lakin Riley's family respond to that? How would Rachel Morin's family in Maryland outside of Baltimore respond to that? Or how would the 14-year-old at the baseball game that was stabbed here a couple of weeks ago by a man who has now been charged in that knife attack, who is in the United States illegally, how would those families and those victims respond to Robert Reich's comments?
And, you know, keep in mind, some of these people who were attacked by illegals who had been arrested for committing other crimes while in the country illegally and let go. That compounds the outrageousness about, again, the issue of illegals in this country. The problem just continues to grow. 31 minutes after 8 o'clock, The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. In a moment, we'll be talking with a police officer who barely escaped death. One of my favorite people on the Seattle Police Force, Britt Sweeney. Now Britt Kelly, who I knew before she was a cop, and it's been so good getting to know her. Britt Sweeney very narrowly escaped death on Halloween night. What year was it, Britt Sweeney?
That was 2009.
2000, but for heaven's sakes, 15 years have gone by. Her partner, Officer Tim Brenton, was murdered that night by an ambush, assassination. And Britt barely ducked in time to avoid a hail of bullets coming through their car window. She has since gone on to a very distinguished career, and this is the important part. She remembers the men and women who have given their all for you and me, for the public. They lost their lives protecting our public safety. So she asked if she could come on the show today, wanted to make an announcement, a couple of announcements, actually, and we're happy to have you here, Britt.
I so appreciate the time, and you've always been such a huge supporter of us and of me, and I am so grateful for you. So,
a couple of years ago, we helped raise money because Lexi Harris, was tragically killed on the highway several years ago. And a memorial was underway for plans for a memorial, and we help raise money for that. And you have some good news for us.
I have some great news. It was a little, kind of few hiccups with the Lexi Memorial, just as far as location, getting permitting and such. But the great news is the installation for that is going to happen today, just in a matter of a couple hours. And that is in large part to a lot of your listeners who made donations to that. And that was just over a year ago. And so that installation's today. The dedication will be on the 26th of this month. And the project wildly continues, which I am so grateful for, with the help of the Seattle Police Foundation, who does all of the fundraising for this. Every mm-hmm. bit of this is yes. through the Seattle Police Foundation. And we are currently, meaning Seattle Police Foundation, is currently raising money for the next memorial, which is for fallen officer Joselito Barber, who was tragically killed August 2006, when he was only 6 months into his career. So not too far from where Tim and I were ambushed, just a couple blocks away, mm-hmm. and a lot of the same kind of eeriness of newness to the department, if you will.
And no, absolutely. Again, you were still being trained. In fact, I believe Tim was your training officer, wasn't he?
He was indeed. He was my field training officer. Yeah, I think when I did the calculations, it was my 20th shift ever in uniform that this happened. Yeah, my first shift ever in uniform was October 2nd of 2009. This was October 31st. So I was very, very, very green.
Well, we're so relieved that we still have you with us. So the good news is that the money that KVI listeners helped to raise for Officer Lexi Harris's memorial has resulted in that memorial being built, and it will be installed today. Where's it going to be installed, Britt?
So the installation location is actually still under wraps until the installation is finished today. It will be announced at the end of today.
Okay.
I will say that there's always specific connections that I find for the officer. So Lexi was a bike cop. This is off of a bike path in Seattle. It's within okay. the West Precinct, which is the precinct she worked at. It's within those limits. Mm-hmm. So I will give you a clue and say it's off the South Sound Trail, okay. I believe is South Ship Canal Trail. And it's a beautiful location. And so that and the dedication is open to the public on the 26th. It will be at 11 o'clock.
Good.
More information for that will be on the Seattle Police Foundation homepage and their Facebook page for anybody who has Facebook.
Okay. And I know Lexi's dad, Laird Harris, he was an aide, I believe, to Governor Booth Gardner and was very familiar as an advisor to other prominent politicians. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. It was just so sad to hear that he lost Lexi. And it was so great that KVI listeners really got in there and helped out. So now we're in a position to help out again. Tell us how close we are to getting Officer Barber's memorial.
So we are 3/4 of the way there with the funds needed for Officer Barber's memorial. And so we just have one last little push that we need. And we already have the location solidified for his, and that's already actually been announced. It's going to be at the Filipino Community Center in South Seattle, which he and his family are still very, very involved with. Mm-hmm. And so that dedication will be in May of next year, but we just need to get over this last little hump so we can get this memorial ordered. There's a long lead time that it takes to get these memorials in, and they are beautiful. Yeah. And
well,
so
they're granite memorials, aren't they?
Bit. Yes. And they all replicate the memorial that was done for Tim.
The badge.
At the site of the location of the ambush. So, yes, they're a beautiful badge, large granite badge with the officer's badge number. And then, of course, it has the mourning band through the badge, which, of course, represents a line of duty death.
Of course. So how close are you? How much you need, Britt?
So we are looking to raise $16,000, which is the cost of the memorial. And we are, I was told this morning, we are at $12,000. So we just need one last little push.
You need four
We've been
grand.
Doing the fundraising. Yes, we need $4,000.
$4,000. We can help out there, folks.
We are very close.
We can help make that happen. Put me down for $100 right away.
I love it. Thank you.
And KVI listeners, if you want to donate, simply go online to SeattlePoliceFoundation.org. SeattlePoliceFoundation.org. We want to raise the final $4,000. They've raised $12,000 of the $16,000 they need. Let's do the final four here. And if any of you can match or exceed what I'm giving, great. If any of you can just give whatever you can afford, $5, $20, $35, $40, whatever, it will all go to help remember police officers we should never forget. So again, that's SeattlePoliceFoundation.org. Donate to the fund for the fallen officer, Joselito Barber. It's so great hearing your voice again, and we'll keep working to help make this happen. Okay, Britt?
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. So good to hear from you. Tell Lisa I say hi.
I will.
Give her a big old hug for me.
I will, and once again, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Britt Sweeney, Officer Britt Sweeney, Seattle Police Department. Boy, anything we can do to help out these fallen officers and their family. It means so much to their family to know that they're being remembered permanently in a place that was of special note to them, and that it was done through volunteers. No government funding here. It's just people stepping forward to say, thank you. Thank you. Never met you, but I'm so grateful for what you did and that last threshold that anyone, you know, can give, which is their life, for others. I mean, it's right out of the Bible. SeattlePoliceFoundation.org for the Fallen Officer Memorial Project. All right. It is 46 minutes after 8 o'clock. A quick reminder, I'm going to be out at the Puyallup Fairgrounds today with Philip J. Vandervoort III and our good friend Ari Hoffman. I'll be there from noon to 2. Phil's going to be out there, too, right by, where I'm told, the Earthquake Burger stand. We'll have our own booth there to meet and greet and say hello to KVI listeners, along with our sister station, Country Music Hank 101.5. And we would love to see you. That's today out of the Puyallup Fair, and it's Military Appreciation Day. So if you're active duty military, reserve, guard, or retired military, you get to go for free today. So just show up with your military ID, and you and your family get into the fair for free. So would love to see you there today, the KVI booth by the Earthquake Burger. It is coming up on 47 minutes after 8. Oh, by the way, Let's Go Washington. Brian Haywood, they have their first ad for 2117, I-2117, to repeal the carbon tax on gasoline, bring the price of gasoline back down. And this ad features Jay Inslee. You don't want to miss it. We'll play it for you. The campaign to defeat Initiative 2117 and keep the artificial tax on gasoline alive and well is swimming in money, millions and millions of dollars. Let's Go Washington, which got this initiative on the ballot, doesn't have anywhere near the money, but oh man, do they have a great ad. It's a TV ad. Have a listen, because even on radio, it works.
Here's what Governor Jay Inslee said his hidden gas tax would cost.
This is going to have minimal impact, if any. Pennies. We're talking about pennies.
It turns out it was nearly 50 pennies per gallon, which adds up to a lot. And get this, Inslee's own economist told him it would increase by 50 cents per gallon. But instead of listening, Inslee forced him out. Initiative 2117 repeals Inslee's hidden gas tax. Vote yes. Pay less. Let's fix what's broken.
I love this ad. Short, clear, to the point. And as they say in politics, it has the added virtue of being true.
Say yes, pay less. Wow.
Say
there's
yes,
a line.
Pay less. So if you want to help keep this ad on the air, if you want this ad to play everywhere, you know what? Brian Haywood has put in, now it's over $7 million of his own money. Want to help him out a little bit? It would be nice. Go to letsgowashington.com. That is letsgowashington.com. And please, if you can, make a donation. Brian Haywood is not making money from running initiatives. He's spending money to run initiatives to give you a chance to repeal the worst of the excesses of the Inslee-Ferguson legislature era. We have an out-of-touch legislature that has grown very arrogant, matching the arrogance we've seen from the Attorney General's office and from Governor Inslee himself. When he, you know, you heard what he was saying, pennies, just pennies. He knew he was full of BS. He knew that wasn't true. They say it anyway. I'm tired of people like that in politics. They know something isn't true. Kamala Harris was doing it during the debate. She knows it wasn't true. She's saying it anyway. Inslee knows it's not true, says it anyway. Let's get rid of people like that. And, you know, your vote matters. Your vote can change a lot. And you can help get this ad out to many, many more people. Let'sGoWashington.com. I'll see you out at the Puyallup Fair today, noon to 2. That's today, noon to 2, Puyallup Fairgrounds. It's going to be 70 degrees and warm. Get out there and enjoy this day.